Bet you're all going to get a nice Thanksgiving dinner today, are you? Lots of pie, lots of gravy, and then the ball game tonight. It could be good. Before we start on the message, just a few things we should, or people we should be praying about. Bob Pashka got home on Thursday. He called us this morning, and he's doing pretty good. He had a quadruple bypass, and wasn't without some difficulties, but he's on the mend, and he wanted to thank people for visiting him and bringing food, which is probably a hint to bring more food, or drop by and have pay him a visit. But he's very thankful to the Lord for getting through his operation. Jim Miller's going into the hospital tomorrow for his pre-op, and then they'll kind of tell him exactly when they're going to do the operation, which I expect would be, you know, shortly to follow. So we're going to pray for Jim. We're going to pray for Shania today, and just that the Lord would be with her and encourage her and bless her. Is there any other prayer need that we should be aware of that we're perhaps not aware of? Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's go to prayer. And, you know, if there's something you want to pray about while I'm praying, you... Yes. Yes. How's he doing, Agnes? No. Are they in Vancouver? Okay, let's pray. Father, we'd like to pray for Kyle and Lord, the dreadful accident that he had and his need for chemo and the setback, Lord, late this summer, that was just, it's just been kind of devastating for the family that he was doing so well and then to have this setback. But Lord, you're aware of all these things, and we're just thankful, Lord, that he's able to get the treatment that he needs and in the quality of care that he has. We pray, Lord, for strength for him and for his family as they try to help their young boy, their son, through this process, Lord. And, Lord, you know how our hearts ache for our children, you know, our adult children, when they're going through hard times, and this is just amplified. So we just pray for Kyle and his parents, his family, for Jerry and Agnes, and for all involved, Lord, that you'd have your hand upon this young man. Lord, we'd like to remember the Jamaican ladies, and Father, as they head back over the next few weeks, we pray for their encouragement. I'm sure, Lord, it is a bit unknown how things are at home when they've been away so long, but we thank you for them. We pray for your encouragement and your blessing on them as they go back to their families. Father, we'd like to remember Shania today, Lord, and you just have your hand upon her, and that, Lord, she would just sense your presence in a powerful way today, that, Lord, you would be near to her and that you would bless her and just fill her heart, Lord, with your presence and your direction. Lord, we thank you for Jim, and he's been waiting for his day in the hospital, and we thank you, Lord, that he's going to get his pre-op tomorrow and from there find out exactly when and how things will be done. We just pray, Lord, that it would be speedy, that the operation would go well, and that, Lord, you would be already healing him. Thank you, Lord, that you've kept him faithful through this, Lord. And I know you've deepened his walk. Lord, none of us would pray for that kind of suffering, but, Lord, we know that suffering has its purpose, a purpose that we would know the God of suffering. We know the peace of God in the midst of suffering. Thank you for Bob, Lord, and how you brought him through his operation and how you have blessed him. And, Lord, I thank you for his witness in that hospital room with those other men. And for Farouk, Lord, the Muslim man who Bob shared his faith with, a man who doesn't really know what will happen when he crosses death's door. And I thank you that Bob was able to share Christ with him. Lord, bless Bob as he recovers and as he heals. And have your hand upon him, Lord. And, Father, we pray for our church family. Lord, I guess it doesn't matter, Lord, where we live in this world. It holds true to Jesus. You said that in this world we will have tribulation. We will have troubles and we will have difficulties. And whether we live in the land of the blessed or we live in a poor land, life is not easy. But, Lord, you said that be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. And, Lord, in you we place our hope, and in you we place our trust. And, Lord, the day will come when we will leave this world. Because, Lord, you have a better place in mind. And the day will come when you return to this world and set it on its ear, and that you would take up the reins of power and bring justice and righteousness upon this earth. Lord, for those things we look forward to and we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As was mentioned, this is the kind of wrap-up message for this series on good news about injustice. And some of the things that we've kind of looked at the last 4 weeks or so, many of you have read, and I'm still getting requests to order more copies of the Good News About Injustice book. It's a tremendous book, and it's a very eye-opening book on what's really going on in the world, because sometimes in our quiet little corner, we are not often aware of the great issues that people face. John Stott had, in his intro to the book, had given the church four disturbing questions. You know, what kind of a God do we believe in? The God of salvation or the God of justice and salvation? And we decided, and we looked at the scriptures weeks ago, and we have a conviction that we believe in the God of justice and of salvation. And the evangelical church has been probably for a long time kind of neglectful of the justice side. We've been more heavily on the righteousness side, but we discovered that justice and righteousness are the foundation of the throne of God. And so both must be important to us as the church. And then the next question was, what sort of person do we think a human being is? In other words, do we value some people above others? Do we really realize that every human being is made in God's image? Well, yes, we do believe that. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we believe. But we have to confess that we don't often practice that. We don't always see people the way God sees them. Sometimes we see them on the basis of their outward appearance and not at the heart. And we have to practice what we preach as Christians. And we believe that every human being represents God on this earth. Whether, in some flawed way, they're still representatives of God, the image of God. I was reading in the... I have a copy of this Poverty and Justice Bible, which sat on my shelf for many years until we did this series, and I realized, wow, there's a Bible about poverty and justice. It said that in cultures where they have idolatry, they would make an idol to represent. They make an image to represent what they thought God was like, and we don't need to do that because we have people, and people bear an image to what God is like, and so we need to uphold the rights and value of every human being. The third question was, what kind of a person do we think Jesus was? Well, we believe Jesus opposes evil and injustice and is compassionate to victims. You just read the accounts in Scripture of the life of Jesus Christ. And I started reading in Mark a couple of days ago. And some of the language, I've been reading this Poverty and Justice Bible, and it's a contemporary English version. And, where it talks about maybe the King James, they cast out a demon. In the CEV, it's they forced out a demon. And when Jesus talked about, binding the strong man, sometimes we think, well, binding is one of those words, what does that mean? But this version says they tie up, if you want to take the strong man's house, you got to tie up the strong man, then he can take everything he has. And he was talking about his opposition or his to the evil that Satan represents. And so, when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, you know the message. It's the church is supposed to be on the attack. We're supposed to be confronting evil, not backing away from it. And that's a challenge to all of us because, we tend to back away from evil. We tend to think that's somebody else's business. And in fact, Jesus said, no, that's his business. Then the next question was, what kind of community do we perceive the church to be? Well, we discovered that the church, and we believe the church, is to be salt to prevent decay and light to penetrate the darkness. And so, Jesus said, make sure your salt is still salty. In other words, make sure your morality and your principles and your values are still biblical and still matter to counteract the evil of this world. Because if your salt goes, what happens to salt when it goes? It goes stale, it goes saltless. It's no good for anything. You throw it out. What's the good of old salt? You throw it out. Well, we don't want our lives to be like that. And he said, our light is to penetrate the darkness, not to be hidden under a bushel, not to be locked away somewhere, but to be brought out in the open so we can give light to the darkness. And so the church of God is supposed to be on the move against evil. And I guess the point today I want to make is this. We believe God is calling us to take action against injustice. That's really the good news. You know, you think, what's the good news about injustice? Well, that's us. Right? Do you ever see yourself as good news? Are you good news? Well, that's what we're supposed to be. We don't just bear good news, but we're supposed to be the good news because we're supposed to represent Jesus Christ in this world. A couple other things that Hagin talked about why there's good news about injustice. One is that God is the God of justice is active in this world. And you might look at all the injustice and all the things that are wrong with this world and conclude, like many people do, there's no God. If there was a God, then he would be doing something about this. But Christians know that God is active. And we can become acquainted with International Justice Mission and what they're doing. God's pretty active with them. And I guess the point is, God is active when we take action. You know, and if God's seemingly not doing much, well, maybe it's because God's people aren't doing a whole lot either. Another thing about the good news is that his word has power to change lives. It does. We believe it. I can remember August 29th, 1981, when the word of God changed my life. And I became born again. And my life has never been the same since. And it was from the word of God and the power of God and the spirit of God and the gospel all working together. And that's why I believe the word of God is supernatural. It has a power that is totally different than anything in this world. God redeems and restores victims of injustice. God is in the business of restoring and bringing new life to people. And that's what he loves to do. And maybe the best thing about this, and just to reiterate the story of Gary Hagin, who in the early 90s, as a lawyer, for the U.S. Justice Department, was sent by the U.N. to Rwanda to investigate all the crimes there, the war crimes, the slaughter of over a million people, and come back and, as a Christian, tried to find out who was writing about this or what the Bible had to say about it, and discovered that most Christians wasn't on our radar at all, and he wrote a book about it. And what he has said over the last 25 years is that Christians are embracing the biblical call to justice. And as normal, things travel north and south in North America, and eventually they come down the Trans-Canada, and they come east. And we hear about things years later. Well, here we are. 2016, now we've heard. I'm not sure when this Bible was written, but I expect it was about 10 years ago. So it's been on the church's radar, and we are taking notice that we are to be called to do something about it. And I'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago, why it's important for us to be doing this. And one of the biggest reasons, I think, is this. That we as the church, all the church, the Bible-believing Church of Jesus Christ, we have lost a lot of credibility over the years. You know, whether it's residential schools or molesting children or some of the high-profile evangelists who have fallen into sin, over the years, the rise of atheism, over the years, our credibility has diminished. And why is that? You know, is it something we're doing wrong, or is it something wrong with, you know, the gospel? I think we need to look at ourselves. And I think one way to regain credibility is to be out in the world doing good works. That's what we're called to do. That's what we were saved for. And I think we just need to be re-engaged in that whole idea of doing good works. God is calling you and I to do something. That's the good news. Why don't you turn to Psalm 100? I think we should read Psalm 100. It's Thanksgiving Day, and this is kind of like a Thanksgiving psalm. And I don't know where you were when Encarnacion hit that 11th inning home run the other night. I got to watch it on my phone when I got home because I was out. And so I missed the euphoria of the crowd. You know how it is? You can watch like the reruns. It's just not the same as watching it live when he nailed that long home run and everybody just went bananas. And you know, when you see stuff like that, you tend, if you're a fan, how many of you are fans? There were some fans here. You tend to shout. It's like, whoa, look at that. Woohoo! You know, that's what I do, right? Glenda doesn't shout a whole lot like that, but I shout. Because I get excited about, you know, stuff like that. And it says here, we should shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And I don't know, we don't shout much as Christians, do we? But maybe we ought to shout. You know, maybe we ought to say, thank you, God. Maybe we ought to raise our voice so, you know, not just I hear myself, but other people hear. Maybe when you go and feast today, you should shout for joy because you're thankful. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Got the rest of it there, Dave? There we go. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. We've done some of that. Know that the Lord is God. Well, I'm really grateful that we know that. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's our God. We get a lot to be thankful for, and I hope that thankfulness permeates your life. The world's catching on to thankfulness. Did you know that? I've had different people talk to me about different secular programs that are promoting gratefulness. Because gratefulness is the antidote to worry and anxiety and anger and bitterness and all kinds of stuff. To be grateful for what you have. And when you add it up, we tend to have quite a bit. Our country was founded on the reality of God. And I know the atheists would like to take credit for it. But the majority of people who came to our country 100, 150, 200 years ago, believed in the reality of God. And they founded the principles of family and society on the Word of God. That's what the foundation was. Now, I think that's why we enjoy a measure of justice. We are living in the legacy of our forefathers who brought those principles of morality and justice to this land. That's what they brought with them. And so, as our country begins to loosen itself from our foundations, I believe that what's going to happen down the road is we are going to see less justice. And we are going to see less of mercy. And life is going to get harder and tougher in our country. Because that's the pattern when you look at the Bible and you look at the world. Countries that move away from God, God moves away from them. Countries that divorce themselves from God, God lets them go off on their own. And they get outside of the pasture and find trouble. Another passage we looked at was Isaiah 58. And I just wanted to read a couple of verses because I think we need a reminder about how we hold righteousness and justice together. I'm going to read out of this Bible. I'll tell you what it really means, Isaiah 58:6. I'll tell you what it really means to worship the Lord. Remove the chains of prisoners who are chained unjustly. Free those who are abused. Share your food with everyone who is hungry. Share your home with the poor and the homeless. Give clothes to those in need. Don't turn away your relatives. And then he talks about how God would bless a people who would live like that. If we would bless other people, God would bless us. That's what real worship is. It's not just about going through rituals and sacrifices. It's about loosening the chains of injustice. But there's another part to Psalm or Isaiah 58 that we don't want to forget. And so if you look over at verse 13, it says, but first you must start respecting the Sabbath as a joyful day of worship. You must stop doing and saying whatever you please on this special day. Then you will truly enjoy knowing the Lord. He will let you rule from the highest mountain and bless you with the land of your ancestor Jacob. The Lord has spoken. And so what we have to be careful is that we don't, in our desire to see justice relieved, that we make sure that worship and serving the Lord always comes first. And a lot of the proponents of social justice over the years have forgotten that. And that's what we tend to be like as human beings. We tend to, you know, go way over this way and then we, you know, get swung back over this way. And we need to keep, you know, righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. So we need to have an even keel about that. And so worshiping God has to come first. We can't leave God out of our quest for justice. Because when you leave God out of anything, you don't accomplish very much. And one of the struggles that our culture has with injustice is injustice caused by, well, I would say injustice is really what victims feel, the effects of the sins of other people. Okay? It's not, injustice is not what you suffer when you suffer for your own sin. That's your own sin and your own responsibility. If you suffer because of other people's sins, that can be termed injustice. And I guess what I want to make the point of is that we have a bedrock belief as Bible believers about the reality of life in this world. Well, you have several, but this is one that's really important. Sin is a reality, and the principle of sin is the problem of this world. The problem of this world is, you know, it's not lack of education, it's not lack of resources, it's not lack of anything. The problem of this world is our sin. And we should never forget that as Christians. And, you know, I feel for people who struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. And all our sins may be different. Maybe some struggle with this sin and some with that sin. And maybe the church has oppressed people in a way because we've focused all, you know, we've dumped all our condemnation on one brand of sin and we've let ourselves off the hook. And God doesn't do that. God sees sinners as all on a level playing field. All are unrighteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we cannot change the biblical message and say, we know the Bible says that sin is wrong, but because you feel oppressed, we are going to change the message. We can't do that. But we have to change the way we respond to it. And maybe a little more grace and mercy would be a good thing. We're going to do something different now. We've had about 13 or 14 or 15 community groups meeting over the last 4 weeks and doing this IJM series, and there's a DVD and we have a discussion. And we've asked them to share what they've discovered. Maybe it's a new conviction about what God says about injustice. Maybe it's something that the group feels led to do. Maybe it's something that they feel that we as a church need to do. Maybe you're just not sure what to do. But whatever you've discovered as a group, I'm going to give you opportunity. Glenda's going to take notes back there. There's a mic right here. And your representative, your group representative is going to come up front and share. And I'm sure you already were told that, right? Did your leaders tell you that? Because I noticed a lot of leaders are away today, right? They're just kind of vacated. And way to go. Way to go. So who would like to go first? Which group would like to go first? You got about a minute. Share what your group has discovered. Don't be shy. Jessica, come on up.
Hello. I wanted to go first because I thought maybe other groups might have the same.
You want to get the good stuff out.
So in our group was Fred and Linda and Andrea, Steve and Florence, Craig and Yvonne, Alex and April, and myself and John. As a group, we were definitely convicted that we wanted to do more, but it was really overwhelming with all the statistics and the stories and all the suffering that was going on. So many issues that are bigger than us personally, like we felt there's not a lot we can do. But we were very encouraged to learn more about IJM and that they aren't just providing a Band-Aid solution, that they're really getting out there and meeting the current need, not just meeting the current needs, but digging deeper into the why those needs are there and how they're getting to the root of the problem. So they're providing long-term care for the victims, which is good, helping them get back into their own society, not just helping them in the state that they were in at that time. So that was encouraging for us. In summary, this likely isn't a mission where we can really be the doers, like be on the ground doing something in a global scale, because you really need those special skills. But locally, we're really interested in hearing from the task force and helping support them as a church. So as a group, we definitely came away feeling like as FBC, as a church, we need to do something. So that was good. But we did say there's three things we can do. We can pray, we can give, whether that ends up being through IJM or locally, depending on what the task force comes up with, and then speak up in situations where the easy thing to do is remain silent, because we've all been in those situations where it's just easier to say, I'm not the right person to get involved, or I'm just going to walk away and pretend I didn't really see that. So that was our challenge, I guess, internally as a group.
Awesome. Thank you. Get all that, Glenda? Good, good. All right. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jess.
Pardon? Does she take shorthand?
Well, I don't know. What are you giving out? Giving out longhand? Or are you giving out shorthand? Brian's group. Justin meets with Stephen Florence and their group in Great Village. Brian's group meets up in Londonderry. What did you find out?
Well, when you read the book and you hear about all this injustice stuff, you know, and you kind of wonder, you know, what can you do about it? And then when you get a little further into the book and you find out it's not all over in Asia or somewhere. It's right in our backyard. And I was reading in the paper this week where there's been charges laid that somebody was tempting a young girl under 18 years of age. So it's, you know, It's not very far away, and it's backing us up. And we come to the conclusion that as a small group, it's pretty hard to reach too far from home. So our conclusion was that we would try just to reach people in our general area, just stop and do something, just stop and chat with them, and you know, show them the love of Christ that way, rather than, you know, going in over our heads, and maybe along in the winter sometime, do a soup kitchen. Invite them in for a meal, and you know, kind of stuff like that. And it's really shocking when you when you find out how close to home this stuff is coming. And like Pastor Doug said this morning, you know, like when you step away from Christ, He steps away from you. So
good, thank you. And part of this. You know, of what we can do, whether it's, you know, as an individual or whether it is as a group or whether it as a church, there's really no reason why we can't be doing something. Like, for instance, like soup kitchen out here, you'd think, well, you should have that in town. But, you know, poverty and loneliness and oppression and all those things exist everywhere. And in rural areas, they're hidden. Right, because people aren't hanging in the streets, generally speaking, and so it's harder in a way. But then it has to become more personal. It has to be you reaching out to your neighbor. So certainly a need. So Rob, you're with Derek and Gail's group in the Burt.
Yeah, it's me and Michelle and Darlene, and say a small group, but good conversations. And it's funny you said visible, because right off the bat, week one, say being a music fan, Steve Earle fan. He has a song, Invisible. And if you listen to the videos, especially the live version, he'll preface the song. And he's saying, as him and Tim Robbins, who was an actor that lived in that neighborhood in New York, were walking down the street to the gym, Tim made a comment that he was an altar boy in that church. And Steve Earle made the comment that they had opened a soup kitchen in that church. And Tim said there's always been a soup kitchen in that church. What he realized is that the need was coming out of the church and onto 6th Avenue, and the need was greater, and it became visible to him.
And so
The song Invisible, and it kind of touched my heart. And so I've volunteered a little bit with the homeless shelter, and so I don't know, I guess it's been on my heart, and say I kind of, so I get towards the end of the, I get to figure out the chord for the song, so I'm kind of working on it. But anyway, that was, and it was a good conversation. And say we talked about partnering with, say, the United Way, which, you know, does a lot of good work in that thing. So there was a lot of good discussion, but no real direction.
But
it was good and enjoyed it. And having said that, I'll introduce Autumn, who just happens to be.
Okay, Autumn is in with Rodney and Linda's group and some others down in Masstown. Who else in your group?
We have Rodney and Linda, myself, and John and Courtney, and Sherry Stevens is going to be joining our group as well. So throughout the injustice study, we've been talking a lot about vulnerable people, whether it might be the homeless, poverty, the lost, the lonely, those sort of things. And we've really come up with some ideas how we want to help in this area. And again, we believe in, you know, looking in our own areas, not, you know, there's a lot that we can do here without looking further away. So a few things that we decided to do is we all agreed that we're going to support the homeless shelter by volunteering, and we've all began our paperwork process for that. And another thing that's on our hearts is the Christmas at the Cafe that happens on Christmas Day. And for those of you who don't know what that is it's a community dinner for the people who are lost, lonely, and just don't have anybody. So we all are looking at supporting that as well in one way or another. And it was brought to our attention as well that, you know, on Christmas Day, when the shelter closes at 7:30, there's nothing for the people to do at the shelter. So from 7:30 until Christmas at the Cafe opens, Tim Hortons isn't even open for them to go in and have a coffee. So our group's going to look at something. We're not sure what that is, but we're going to ensure that people aren't on the streets on that day. It's a really difficult time for them. So we're going to make sure that they have something to do or a place to go until they can fellowship with us at the Christmas in the Cafe. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we're really interested in seeing what the Injustice Committee has, and we're willing to support them in any way we can. And, you know, just are very excited about the work that they're going to do.
So. All right. Thank you. I'm going to say more about this task force in a couple of minutes, just if you're not aware of what it is. Kim and Tim Stockdike lead a group in their place down in across the bay. And what have you got to share, Kim?
Well, Sandra and I are here by default because most of the other people in our groups are not here, so we weren't necessarily planning to present this morning. But our group started out with two families, and we've grown by 42%.
Wow.
Just last week.
Wow.
That helps when you have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
The Carters joined us last week.
Oh,
we were
awesome.
Excited for that.
Awesome.
I think we were a little bit overwhelmed by all of the information and the heaviness of the concept of injustice and our responsibility as Christians and what you can be doing while you're trying to do life and raise a family. And so one of the big things that our group learned is to be watching for it and not just be stuck in your own little silo, not to see the oppression around you or to ignore it and walk by it. And that's where kids come in. Our group includes our kids, and we're excited about that. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs that we think of as this really high standard for women, right? Proverbs 31, you got to be this perfect woman. But that passage isn't just that. It's a mom teaching her son how to behave and how to be a godly man. And the first 10 verses are some very specific instructions of that mom for a prince. If we're children of God, we're children of the King, and so we have a responsibility there. So Proverbs 31:8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. There's lots more in that passage, but it's our responsibility to teach our kids to see that. And so that, I think, is one of the biggest things that has come out, that we need to look for those things and teach our kids rightly. Some of us feel like we grew up in these tight little Christian communities where we didn't see broken people the way that God sees them. And so we want not only for our hearts to change, but for us to teach our kids to see things rightly. And so I think that's one of the things that we'll be working on, is discipling them in that way. And also just having discussions with them about when they see people that are being mistreated, to not be afraid to step up, even if it's your best friends picking on somebody, to stand up and say, that's wrong, God doesn't like it. So there are a lot of other things that came up in our group discussion about some opportunities. Prayer is certainly one of the things we know we need to focus on, and mostly just watching for what God wants us to do.
Amen. Great, great. And you know, one of the, like we talked about, this is not like, you know, one series, one and done, and then we just move on to something else, but we really want to give our young people a sense of mission about this, so that our young people will grow up and do more than we did. That they would take it as, you know, they would act more like Jesus did than we did. And they would, you know, be courageous and take issue with injustice when they see it and stand up for the weak and the vulnerable and the helpless. And I think teens especially, they're eager for that. They want to do that because God gives young people a sense of idealism and a very keen sense of justice and fairness. And it doesn't just extend to their family, but they tend to have a heart for people. And then when they get old, like us, like we get old, we get comfortable and maybe a bit cynical because we think, well, we can't do a lot. But we want to give our young people a license to do something. Sandra's in our group. We meet in Londonderry. What did we talk about, Sandra?
Well, we felt that we really had our eyes open by the videos and the sermons through this study and about all of some of the areas of injustice that we didn't know about. And we were a bit overwhelmed about it. We didn't come up with anything in particular that we were going to do yet. We're waiting to hear from the task force and hoping that there's something that we can jump on board with. But we did all agree that God wants us to do something, starting with being the loving community that He calls us to be. And having a personal lifestyle of confronting injustice and doing something about it wherever God puts in our path. Some of the things we talked about were domestic violence, visiting the lonely and shut-in, seniors impacting youth, messages from the pulpit about family and local injustices that are never talked about so that people know it's okay to talk about that, that they have a safe place to come. Some things like family abuse and alcoholism and depression. And Doug has accepted the challenge to help out at the homeless shelter, so I don't think anybody else in our group has yet, but I think some people are thinking about it, and that's we're just waiting to see where we can really have some impact. But.
Okay, great, thank you. So, Doc, are you? Yeah, I knew you were doing that. You're doing that on purpose.
Well, Dave's here, too.
Oh, there's Dave. Okay, good, so. Good.
I'm in Jerry and Bonnie Weatherby's group in Londonderry, and I think, like most of the other groups, we felt quite overwhelmed with the scope and the scale of injustice from the IJM perspective. There was a feeling of, there were no hard and fast plans, but there was certainly a feeling of needing to be more prayerful. And conscious of the issues surrounding injustice. One of the things that I wanted to touch on, Brian already touched on this morning with the case right here at home of a man from Halifax who was charged this week for human trafficking in Toronto. And in follow-up to that, one of the things that I did was to check. And in Canada in 2014, there was over 200 charges laid of human trafficking.
Wow.
Those are just the cases that have come to the police. We don't know how many more there are. So it certainly isn't just an issue of oppression around the world, but it is right here at home, so the opportunity exists. There's a great heart in our group for the home in Honduras, for the homeless shelter here. I'm going to take a shameless plug and follow up on Rob's comment about the United Way, because I work with the United Way through my workplace, and that's another great way for people to be involved in our community here at home, because they help with Maggie's Place, they help with the homeless shelter now. There's lots of opportunities to address poverty and issues of oppression right here in our own community through organizations like that. So our group is focusing on being more prayerful, more aware of what's happening and hearing being heartened from the task force.
Good, good. That's a really good point about partnering with other organizations. Like, we don't have to reinvent, you know, because there's already a lot of people. Like, we met, we sort of had an initial task force meeting, and Michelle Hamilton has some involvement with the United Way, and she said they're doing this research too. And so we can learn from them. And that what we want to do, you know, is not just, you know, this mob of FPCers. We're going to go there and, you know, relieve all this injustice. But getting connected with other groups and organizations that are doing it that you're aware of. And so that's where the individual part may come in, that if you already have an interest or a conviction or a contact, that, you know, step forward and get involved in that. And Because what we want to do is relieve injustice and be salt and light wherever we go. And so getting involved is really important. Dave. Dave, you've been leading the group for years now in Truro, Bible Hill?
Yeah, we meet at Jen Murphy's place in Truro. We're many and varied. I was a little intimidated at the last group meeting because there were six or seven women and me. And the only reason that was intimidating was because we were choosing a new topic, and I don't know how this is going to go. But no, actually, we had some really good suggestions. I don't know if I can speak for everybody because we're kind of here and there. Some of us are there, and other ones are away, sort of thing. We've had a couple of people that weren't so well lately. But it was very overwhelming to see the statistics on trafficking and on slavery. Because I know for myself, I had no idea that there were millions and millions of people that are enslaved worldwide. That was pretty shocking. I guess we're not surprised by evil. It's been around forever. It's shocking when it first kind of assaults you, right? When you see the breadth of it and how widespread it is. But we were also very encouraged and very surprised because in one of the videos I noted that their success rate, I think it was up around 79% in one of the cases. That was really encouraging because they didn't expect it, and we certainly didn't. You heard the statistic. I think they were looking for like 20%. And 79%, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I had an experience a couple of years ago. We were in Alberta, and we did a little trip. We met a couple of Dutch gentlemen that were over visiting. And I'll tell you, it's something that's very, it's very humbling, but at the same time, it was very rewarding to hear from somebody who's come out of a situation of injustice like they did. It was a very touching thing because these guys, they came together because they're part of a tennis club, but their wives didn't want to come, so they decided, well, we'll go to Canada and we'll have a trip. And they've been here before. One of the gentlemen had pictures on his cell phone of every single Canadian cemetery in the Netherlands, and he carries this with him because it meant that much to him. Now, I don't know, there's a lot of people that didn't know. I didn't know for the longest time that towards the end of the Second World War, the Nazis had invaded the Netherlands. And when they pulled out, they took everything. There were like 30,000 people at least that starved to death. And so, anyway, my wife is of Dutch descent. And her and her mom happened to be here today. Now, I know that they could tell you stories, right? We won't go into that. But to see these guys, that how much it meant to them, that was a very rewarding thing. You talk about injustice, that's a big example of it there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're looking forward to what's going to happen as a result of the series. I think we're looking at maybe getting involved with some of the local places too, perhaps the food bank or the homeless shelter. We have some good contacts there. So.
Good. Yeah, we do. Who's coming up next? Clint? Clint and Carrie have been leading the group for a long time.
Yeah, for a number of years. I'm not like Jessica. I want to come up last and just say ditto and go sit down. But yeah, a lot of the same stuff, a lot of good conversations, surprising statistics. It just seems so far away from home and so untouchable because it's so huge. But we haven't had any clear direction as of yet. We're looking just to see what we can do and mostly just in our community and see who we can touch and share the love of Christ with.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was watching YouTube this week, and there was a thing on there, a man down the States, he was real well off, and he was walking along, and there was this homeless guy on a bench laying there asleep, and he walked up, and he just laid some money next to the guy's head on the backpack, and he walked away, went over, sat on another bench. Guy woke up, seeing the money laying there. He went to a Target store just over a little bit, bought a sleeping bag and stuff, and he come back, and he sat down homeless guy sit down on the bench. The guy was sitting there with his cell phone. He started talking, pretending he was talking to somebody, explaining he was didn't have money, his child was real sick, and he just didn't have the money to pay for medicine and stuff like that, everything. This homeless guy heard him talking about that stuff. The homeless guy got up, went back to the Target store, got the money back for the sleeping bag and stuff, and come back and give it to the guy. And the guy said no. He said, I don't need this. He said, I was just testing faith in humanity. See what you do. And the guy, the rich guy, or the guy who's real well off, he said, I don't need your money, but I realize you need something. So he passed the homeless guy $500. And the guy started crying. I believe that man had a heart for God and for humanity. I thank it for him.
There is a lot of goodwill out there. Any other groups that didn't get to share Jen Reimers called me this morning. She's sick with the flu, but she and Amanda lead the college and career group, and I was going to call on some, but they're probably not ready. But anyway, are you? Do you want to? Oh, good, good. Because she didn't know if anybody was ready to do that or not, but that's great.
But that's okay.
That's right. You're an impromptu gal.
I guess a lot of the things play the same. We were very overwhelmed by all the statistics, but I don't know. I guess we focused on the hope in it all, that if justice means so much to God, then he's going to be with us when we go to try and help people with our try and help the injustice in the world, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us because it means so much to him. So that we always have to remember that there's hope and all these things, and that we don't have to be scared because we don't need to fear with God on our side.
Amen. All right. Good for you. Okay. That's great. Explain a couple of things about this task force. We've asked Aaron and Sherry to lead it, and they're also representatives with IJM in this area. And so far, there's Aaron, Sherry, Michelle, Hamilton, Autumn, Luke, Allie, and Jay Carter are part of this task force. And there's room for, you know, a couple of more. We're kind of excited that there's some younger people on there. Maybe you would like to be involved in that. And if you would, you could let me know, or you could talk to Aaron and Sherry next week. I think later in the month they're going to get a meeting together. And the purpose is, you know, because we're all kind of exercised about this, what can we do? The purpose is to do some research in our local area, speaking to local people who are already doing something, of what we could do to help, what we could be involved in. And so whether it's an individual, a group, or the whole body, we're going to get involved in some of this stuff. There's just a passage and a couple of more things I want to just conclude with. Isaiah 61. This is the passage, you know, Jesus quoted when he announced that he was the Messiah in Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61, 1-3. The Spirit of the Lord has taken control of me. I like that. The Spirit of the Lord has taken control of me. The Lord has chosen and sent me to tell the oppressed the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce freedom for prisoners and captives. This is the year when the Lord God will show kindness to us and punish our enemies. The Lord has sent me to comfort those who mourn, especially in Jerusalem. He sent me to give them flowers in place of their sorrow, olive oil in place of tears, joyous praise in place of broken hearts. They will be called trees of justice, planted by the Lord to honor his name. The NIV calls them oaks of righteousness, trees of justice. That is a great word picture. I love trees. I love a good, solid, mature tree that that wind or time can't knock down. And that's the kind of people God wants. People that will stand up and be strong and serve him. So that's what we're looking forward to. Now, there's a couple of things. Two more things. I don't know if you ever heard of slaveryfootprint.org. Have you ever heard of slaveryfootprint.org? you have that webpage there, Dave? Slaveryfootprint.org. You can go on there, and you can do a survey. And the survey, I did it last week, and it asks you all these questions about your lifestyle. How many do you own a home? Do you own a car? How many clothes do you own? How many leather shoes do you own? How many cell phones do you have? How much stuff you got? And I don't know how they calculate this, but a lot of the stuff that we have is made by slaves. A lot. And so that's what the website looks like. And you just go through and answer some questions. And so it's like, how much jewelry do you own? And I thought, I don't own any jewelry because I lost my wedding ring. So I don't own anything. But I didn't get off the hook. But I figured that if I owned jewelry, then I would have had more slaves. But it came up, the result was, Doug, there's the paragraph, you have 40 slaves working for you. I hope I'm not going to get embarrassed and you all come back and say, oh, you only got two working for me. But I guess we're just kind of a typical, a Canadian family, 40 slaves working for me. So what they advocate is to take note of the issue. Now that you know this, investigate. Where's your stuff coming from? Who's making your clothes? Who's making all the stuff you have? I was saying to Allie today, or this weekend, our generation, we collected, stuff, and her generation, they collect clothes, right? The millennial generation, you buy a lot of clothes, and you go through a lot of clothes, and there's so many clothes being bought and dumped that landfills, and we don't know what we're going to do with it all. Tons and tons of clothes, and there's something not right about that, because too much of anything, and where's this stuff coming from? So it's just that kind of awareness. Check it out, and let me know how many slaves you have working for you. The other thing, and the last thing, is this. We talked about prayer, and we always say prayer. Yes, prayer is most important, and we don't always practice that. And to tell you the truth, when it comes to injustice in the world and prayer, the idea of praying for somebody over in another country that God would relieve the injustice, sometimes it's even a bit far-fetched for us as believers, and it shouldn't be. And it's because we've got a skewed view of prayer. And maybe we don't really believe what we say we believe about the God who answers prayer. There's a thing that IJAM put out called Just Prayer Devotional. Do you have that, Dave? That picture? Yeah, you can go onto their website, IJAM.ca, and you can find it there. I'm going to put it on the website this week. I started going through it. It's kind of an 8-session journey. Devotional journey through the work of prayer and justice. You could do it as a devotional yourself, maybe do one a week. You could do it as a group or whatever. We're going to put it on the website. But I want this to be kind of the focus for our praying on Tuesday night. I really want to challenge you to come and pray Tuesday night. I really want you to think about coming to pray on Tuesday night. When I read that passage out of Isaiah 58, and don't forget the Lord in this, right? Like, we need to pray first. We want to pray for direction for this task force. They don't really know what to do either. They don't have all the answers, like we don't as a church, but we are seeking the God who has the answers. We need to pray for the things that are going on in our own area, that God would visit our culture and our communities. And we just can't expect that we can fire up a prayer and God will answer, because God has ordained that the church is a community. I just never feel very good about praying when a dozen people show up to a corporate prayer gathering. I just think we let God down. And if that makes you feel bad, so be it. Because God is calling us to pray. And we don't call very many prayer gatherings. But we're calling one for Tuesday night at 7, from 7 to 8 o'clock. So I hope you'll be able to come. We're going to close with a short video. I think it kind of says it all, or it wraps it up in a good way. I just want to say one more thing. The special offering, Matt, $6,654.50. So thank you all for that. Those ministry folk will be glad. Have a look at this video in closing.
By way of an answer, I just close with this confession that when I grew up, I always wanted to be a great football player, and it turned out to be that I was just a pretty bad football player. But fortunately, I had two older brothers who would sit me down and explain to me why I was a bad football player. And they would sit me down and they'd say, "Well, you see, Gary, you're small, but you're slow." And that was helpful to me in an odd way. And so what I would do, of course, is I would go to the weight room and I would try to work out to try to get bigger just so I wouldn't get crushed so badly on the football field all the time. And I'd be in the weight room working out. Nothing would actually happen to my body, but I would go and I'm working out. And I'd always look over. And there in their special section of the gym were always the bodybuilders. Right? Have you seen these guys? I mean, they're just huge, right? Huge chests and arms and neck and legs. And I used to just look at all that massive strength and all that muscle mass and all that power. And I used to just ask, but what's it all for? It's all just for posing. And the only time all that strength and power is ever really brought to bear, right, there's the crisis in the kitchen. And the jam jar is stuck in there, and they pop open the jam jar. My prayer for us, is that in a world of so much suffering and hurt and need, that God will not leave us opening jam jars, but that He'll rescue us from all things petty. Rescue us from all things of fear and lead us with courage into a world that's yearning to know the goodness of God through us.
I just want to close in prayer. Why don't you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank You for speaking to us over these weeks about this whole topic, and I pray, God, that we just wouldn't be the same going forward, and that, Lord, You would rescue us from all things petty, and that You would unleash us, Lord, to make a difference in this world and to bring the good news, to bring the blessing of God into people's lives. And, Lord, I thank You for those who are here today. I just pray, Lord, that as we leave, we would ponder these things and Your role in them, and that, Lord, throughout this week, as You have painted our landscape, Lord, with these marvelous colors, You adorn this world, Lord, in so many beautiful ways. Lord, may we adorn the gospel by the good works that we do, and that we would honor You in this. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.